Welcome to Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene. Vegan Nation is an informational program about living the vegan lifestyle, featuring interviews with individuals and organizations who are practicing a healthy vegan lifestyle. Welcome to Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene. And today's interview is the World Peace Diet. My guest is Dr. Will Tuttle. Dr. Tuttle is an internationally recognized writer, educator, pianist, and composer devoted to providing words and music that inspire insight and compassion, an award-winning author and Dharma master in the Zen meditation tradition. His PhD from UC Berkeley focused on educating intuition, and he has taught college courses in music, philosophy, mythology, and creativity. Thank you, Will, for joining me at Vegan Nation today.
Thank you, Marlene. It's great to be here, and thank you to all the listeners for tuning in here.
I would like to ask you about the major theme of your book, The World Peace Diet, Eating for Spiritual Health and Social Harmony.
Sure, yeah. The main idea in the World Peace Diet is that all of us have been born into a society where we've been forced from the time we're little infants to participate in mealtime rituals that are not in our best interests and that basically reduce our natural wisdom and compassion and also are devastating to our health and as well as the health of our environment. So that if we want to create a world where peace and freedom and justice are possible, we can do that, but we must change our meals. We must become aware that the violence that we are participating in against animals for breakfast, lunch, and dinner always boomerangs back to us. And so the basic message is to question the official stories of our society and move toward a more healthy and compassionate and sustainable plant-based way of eating, a vegan way of living, basically, and that by doing that, we become really a gift to our world. One of the things I think that's really important to be aware of is that by moving to a plant-based diet, we're helping to reawaken the sacred feminine within ourselves, that animal agriculture is not really only about humans dominating animals, but it's really about men dominating female animals, and to create a society of greater equality, moving to a plant-based diet is a wonderful way to help reawaken the sacred feminine within us and within our society, which I refer to in the World Peace Diet as Sophia.
There are thousands of vegan advocates worldwide who are participating in this grassroots movement. It seems in the mainstream media, education systems, as well as spiritual and religious groups, are still a little reluctant to embrace the vegan message. What do you think the reason for this is?
Well, the thing you have to understand is that we're born into a society, like I said, we're all programmed from the time we're little infants to participate in a certain way of eating, and food rituals are the most powerful rituals in any society. And so if you want someone to learn something, the most powerful way to learn something is through rituals. And we learn from our families, from our relatives, from the religious establishments, from the educational institutions, the government, the corporations. Every institution in our society is basically teaching us from the time we're born that the flesh of animals, dairy products, and eggs are what we're supposed to be eating. And so for millions of years, people lived in small communities and villages where you just ate together. You ate what everybody else ate. And so as vegans, we're questioning that. There's a great saying, I think, by Krishnamurti. He said, "It is not a good idea to be well-adjusted to a profoundly sick society." And so what we're talking about essentially is that if we can awaken from the cultural trance of seeing animals as food and the secretions of animals as food and realize that this is actually not food for us, it's abuse and violence and devastation, misery to the animals and really to ourselves. It's trauma, actually. And then we can question the official stories in our society and we can help create a profoundly healthy society instead of being in a profoundly sick society. But as human beings, of course, we want to get along. We want to be well accepted. We want to be well liked. We want to do what everybody else is doing. When we go to work and the boss takes us out to dinner and we're all eating, everybody's eating meat. We don't want to be the only one who's not eating it. You know, we don't want to be different, you know, that kind of thing. So it really is about, I think, connecting with our heart, with our intuition, with our essential nature, our inner ethical foundation, and saying, I am no longer going to take out my wallet and pay someone else to horribly abuse another living being so that I can eat their flesh. It's really about living the golden rule, living what Jesus was talking about and all the great spiritual teachers, and also I think the philosophers of the world who have understood at a deep level, and as well as the sages and the enlightened people from every age and every culture have agreed that the essential teaching is that whatever we most want for ourselves, to give that to others, to create a society where we're based on mutuality and respect and kindness, that this is possible. But every institution in our society, as you said, teaches us the opposite of that. And so we're born into this, really what is a vast industrialized killing machine. I don't think most people realize the scope of it. In the United States, every single day, we're killing 75 million animals for food. So this isn't just a little side project. This is huge. And the tentacles of this huge machine that's killing so many animals reach everywhere. And what I've realized in the research I've been doing for over 30 years is that whatever these tentacles reach, whatever this killing machine for animal foods touches, it's harmful. We're devastating the rainforests, the oceans, the climate. Our water supplies are being drained in many parts of the world. It's causing water pollution, takes huge amounts of petroleum. The oceans, fisheries are collapsing. And all of this is basically due to the worst environmental devastation more than anything else is animal agriculture. So if we move to our plant-based diet, we really are creating an enormous blessing. We're no longer causing so much violence to the earth, and we can feed everyone. This is what we're realizing now more and more. All human beings, we're growing enough food to feed twice as many people as we have, so we could easily feed everyone on a fraction of the land with a fraction of the pollution if we would move toward a plant-based diet. And so each one of us who does that can be an example for others of living in a sustainable and kind and loving way.
As you said, this has been ingrained and indoctrinated, and I thought it was very interesting, your understanding of the start of the herding culture and animal agriculture, and how that was also the start of slavery and the domination and subjugation of women. Will you please give us some more words on that?
Yeah, that's one of the really interesting things, you know. When we hear these ideas, we think, oh, wait a minute. No, we human beings, we've been eating meat for, you know, thousands of years. It must be natural for us to be doing that and so forth. We have to realize that anthropologists agree, that no one argues about this, that we first started owning animals as property for food relatively recently, about 10,000 years, 8 to 10,000 years ago, in what is, it looks like where it first started was in what is today Iraq in the Middle East. And it was men owning wild sheep and then wild goats, and then about 2,000 years later, wild cows, and then gradually, and of course, other animals, pigs and chickens and so forth. And so this arising of a herding culture, a culture based on owning animals as property for food, was a huge revolution. It was the last revolution our society ever experienced, because any subsequent revolution, like the so-called scientific revolution and so forth, the communication revolution, these are not revolutions. We can kill and eat more animals faster than ever, you know, but that was a real revolution. It completely changed our relationship with animals, with the earth, with each other, with God and the universe and everything. And we began to own animals as property for food, which created this way of seeing animals. Instead of, you know, prior to that, it's very clear that human beings honored and respected animals for the tremendous capacities that animals have that we don't, still today don't understand how they can migrate and all these things that they can do. So we saw them as fellow mortals with us on this earth, as equal in many ways to us or even superior to us. But as people started owning them as property, they became reduced. So this herding revolution was a revolution of reductionism, of reducing animals to mere commodities, and of reducing the earth basically to a place that I need to graze my animals. It also created the rise of a wealthy elite. The wealthy elite were the ones who owned capital. Capita is the ancient Latin word for head, as in head of sheep and goats and cows. So the very first capitalists were these men who owned most of the wealth, which was livestock, were wealth, and we had this, and they began dominating all of the society. They invented two other institutions that we still have with us today. They invented war. The very first word for war that we have today is the ancient Sanskrit word gavya, that means the desire for more cows. They would go attack, send a bunch of men to go attack another king who had a lot of cows, and if they won the war, they would get all those cows and sheep and goats, and that was wealth, and so they would double their wealth. So we created this whole pattern of when the wealthy elite wants to get rich, they go to war, and we still see that happening today. They also invented slavery. Whoever lost the war, not only did the animals become property, but the humans became the property of the victors. And so we had this arising of a very warlike society where men dominated animals, and men also dominated women. We have to understand this was something else, that women were also had been seen as mysterious and powerful cohabitants of the earth, like animals. I mean, they did something that men couldn't do. They brought forth new life, and so they were highly respected. But as men were just seeing animals merely as breeders, gradually, over thousands of years, they began to see women that way as well. And whole domination of women, the repression really of the sacred feminine arose, and I talk about this in the World Peace Diet. I refer to this personally as Sophia, the sacred feminine dimension within all of us. And so with the rising of animal agriculture, the sacred feminine was repressed as we had to raise boys who would emulate the role model of the hard, tough, disconnected man who was capable of violence against animals and women and other men. So this warlike patriarchal society spread throughout the eastern Mediterranean to the northern Mediterranean, eventually into Europe, Central Asia, came across, of course, to the North and South America. And basically it's been spreading, really, ever since. And it's still spreading today through the large corporations, the large financial institutions, through ConAgra, Cargill, Monsanto, Burger King, Kentucky Fried Chicken, the whole U.S. foreign policy and other things. All of the World Bank and IMF, all of these institutions are part of what I refer to as the military, industrial, meat, medical, pharmaceutical, media complex, you know, this vast complex that we're born into. And what veganism is essentially is just questioning the violence underlying all of this, the violence towards women, the violence towards animals, the violence towards the earth, and really the violence towards children, forcing them to eat the flesh and secretions of abused animals, and the violence towards the cells in our own bodies, because it's well understood now that diets that are high in animal-based foods really bring the diseases that we have. See, the arising, these ancient rich kings, you know, they had problems with obesity and so forth, and now since we have agriculture that really maximizes the amount of meat, dairy products, and eggs that people are eating, we see the pharmaceutical industry making billions of dollars of people have diseases that come from that, the heart disease, hypertension, strokes, various forms of cancer, especially prostate, breast, and colon cancer, the various types of mental diseases, of dementia and Alzheimer's and so forth, and autoimmune diseases of various kinds, arthritis, obesity, and diabetes. All these things are very clearly linked to diets that are high in animal foods, that people who eat a plant-based diet, vegans have a much lower rates of all of these problems. And so if we want to be healthy physically, psychologically, spiritually, socially, culturally, environmentally, we can do that. There's nothing stopping us. That's the beauty, I think, really, of the message, is that even, you know, when we look in the past, we see that, you know, our culture did this. We created a warlike, violent society for some reason. I mean, I don't know exactly. You can see why it happened, but we're not condemned to continue that. We can awaken from the cultural trance of eating animal foods. Each one of us can become a force for healing, for love, for kindness, for mercy, for justice, for freedom, for ourselves, for animals, for wildlife, for future generations, for hungry people, for slaughterhouse workers. There's a whole web of violence that eating animal foods creates, and it really comes down to one thing. It's taking out my wallet and not paying for it anymore, paying for something else, paying for plant-based foods that are grown organically, that are not processed. As we move and growing our own food and creating a society of healthy food, that's really the foundation of our society, is our food, and then teaching our children to eat this way too. And as we do that, we can live the way we're meant to live, I think, on this beautiful earth, in lives of joy and freedom and celebration, and love. That's, I think, the essential message within veganism.
We've been listening to Will Tuttle on Vegan Nation. We'll be back after these messages.
Join us January 3rd, 2015 for a post-holiday blues breakdown.
Featuring the gurus of blues.
Johnny Pressmas, Blue Honey, A Ton of Blues. Willie J. Laws featuring Chickaboo Boston. Jim Perry's Hot House, Johnny Bluehorn, and Mark LeFerrier and gang will close out the show.
So come on out, support WCUW and the Blues Department. That's Saturday, January 3rd at JJ's, Routes 9 and 20 in Northborough, Massachusetts. It all starts at 4 o'clock, and it goes till close.
You can always hear news at 5, but for your first taste of truly independent national and world news, you want to be right here at 91.3 FM from 4 until 5 for Democracy Now! Hosted by award-winning journalists Amy Goodman and Juan Gonzalez, you'll hear fair and unbiased news that you won't hear elsewhere. Democracy Now! Monday through Friday from 4 until 5 p.m. over your source for community news and events. This is WCUW Worcester.
You're in tune to WCUW 91.3 FM, community radio serving central Massachusetts, online at WCUW.org.
Welcome back to Vegan Nation, and my guest, Dr. Will Tuttle, author of The World Peace Diet, will be speaking to us about his new book that he has edited that is published by Vegan Publishers in Massachusetts, The Circles of Compassion.
Yeah, right. We have a book just coming out. Its release date is January 1st of 2015. It's called Circles of Compassion, Connecting Issues of Justice, and it's based on the idea that I really go into in depth in The World Peace Diet, which is that oppression and social injustice are connected, and that animal agriculture in many ways is the foundation of all social injustice, that the fundamental violence that we're taught as little children is the violence towards animals that we are forced to participate in with every breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and we learn to disconnect from what we're doing. You know, we learn to just see a piece of meat, a thing, an object to be used and abused for my own pleasure. This is at the foundation. We find that racism and sexism and classism and all the ableism, the various forms of social injustice, all intersect. They're all interconnected, and really our violence towards animals for food is the primary generating force in all of these other forms of abuse. It's very interesting to go into this in depth and to understand that. And so I lay this whole picture out, I think, in The World Peace Diet, which has been translated into many languages. And now this new book, which I'm the editor of, is actually 30 other authors. They're all specialists in an area of social injustice, of world hunger, in environmental issues, in racism, in heterosexism, and the various types of injustice that we have as human beings. And so they're writing about their experiences and their stories. It's really fascinating, actually. I think it's a wonderful book that just came out just now. And so I highly recommend, if anyone wants to get a deeper understanding of why we have the problems that we have in our world and how we can actually get to the root of them. That's really what Thoreau said, and I love my roots are in Concord, Massachusetts. I was born and raised there. And Thoreau said, for every 1,000 people that are hacking at the branches of evil, there's only one hacking at the roots. That's what we have to do, I think. We have to go to the roots of our problems. And animal agriculture really is the root of it. And these the book, Circles of Compassion, helps us to understand that. The main ideas, I think, in the World Peace Diet also help us to understand this, and it's enormously liberating to begin to see that even though it's hard, actually, to hear some of these things, it's hard to know how much violence and misery we're causing to animals, to hungry people, to future generations, and so forth, through animal agriculture, but it's also enormously inspiring to realize that each one of us can help transform our world. We can not only turn our own lives around on every level, but we can also bless others as well. This is, I think, the key thing. You know, it's so neat to see people talk about when they move to a plant-based diet. A lot of people do it for health reasons. You know, they find that they lose, you know, I just talked to this lady the other day. She said, I lost 50 pounds. You know, I went vegan, you know, A year ago, I've lost 50 pounds. I'm running again. I feel so much better. I'm so much happier. My husband is treating me a lot better now. I have more self-respect, and my relationships are better. You know, we have all these positive things that happen to us for ourselves, of course, when we move to a plant-based diet and eat vegan food and learn how to thrive on a plant-based diet. But we find that, I think, at a deeper level, what's so wonderful is that we're directly contributing to greater peace and harmony in the world. We're really reducing the underlying forces that generate war and poverty and hunger and environmental devastation. And I think that in itself is even more important. I think as we bless others, we will be blessed. This is a fundamental teaching.
That is so important, and you are appreciated for spreading the vegan message of compassion, radical inclusion, the end of domination and exclusion. And what is your lecture tour coming up nationally and internationally?
Yeah, just briefly, Marlene, Madeline and I are going to be getting into our rolling home. We actually lived on the road for 17 years and in an RV, and we'll be going from Southern California across Arizona, New Mexico, Texas, Louisiana, and Florida, January, February, and March of this year, giving lectures on the main ideas in the World Peace Diet, also workshops on developing spiritual intuition, concerts of original piano music, and Madeline plays the flute, so some of those will be flute and piano, and Madeline's art, art exhibits of her paintings of animals. We'll be going to Hawaii also in April, and to Korea, and then to Europe, where the World Peace Diet is now being translated into many languages, or has been already, into Spanish, French, German, Italian, Greek, and other languages. We'll be giving some lectures in Europe as well over the summer. So it's really great to see this message. It's really an ancient message. I think veganism is an ancient message of loving kindness for all beings, and it's wonderful to see it beginning to flower, not only in the United States, but in other countries as well.
Yes, and your lecture tour included Taiwan, Australia, and New Zealand at the start of 2014. How was that?
Yeah, that was really inspiring, actually. Taiwan, I think, is one of the most vegetarian and vegan-friendly countries in the world. I heard when I got there, this little small island nation has over 1,000 vegetarian restaurants. The World Peace Diet was a bestseller there before I came. When I gave a lecture in Taipei, over 2,000 people showed up for the lecture. There were enormous, really, opportunities, I think, for connections, and we did press conferences with top governmental officials talking about the importance of moving toward less animal foods in the diets and the benefits of that for health and for the environment. Really, I think one of the main reasons it was so successful in Taiwan and they're able to make such progress is because they don't have a large animal agriculture industry there. That's one of the big obstacles we have here in the United States. The meat, dairy, and egg industries spend millions and millions of dollars in advertising and in lobbying Congress and so forth. So it's very difficult for us many times to get the message out into the media. But we are making progress even here, and it's great to see that. And also Australia, there was a lot of great progress being made there. New Zealand, it was a little less positive because the dairy industry is so powerful in New Zealand, and it was quite sad actually to be in New Zealand. Madeline had been there about 30 years ago, and she always told me we've got to go to New Zealand. It's the most beautiful country. It's so lush and green and wonderful. And so after 30 years, we went to New Zealand, and we were just dismayed at the devastation that the dairy industry has caused in New Zealand. New Zealand's really taken on dairy and expanded their dairy industry, and we could just see these terrible, huge clear cuts of forest cutting down. The rivers that used to run clear are all brown and polluted. The poor country has been ruined by the dairy industry.
I really enjoyed your lecture at Worcester State University in October of 2014 and also at Yale Divinity School in Connecticut. And what are your contacts for anyone who would like to learn more about the World Peace Diet and your programs?
Oh, thanks, Molly. Yeah, it was great actually to see you and to be visiting and giving lectures in Concord in New England, where I'm from. And the basic way to contact us really is just through the website worldpeacediet.com, just like it sounds, worldpeacediet.com, or Will Tuttle, willtuttle.com. That's just my name. The World Peace Diet is available through our website and also through Amazon. So, we're happy to communicate with anyone who's interested. We also have a World Peace Diet Facilitator Training and Mastery Program, so if people would like to learn more and become a facilitator and help spread these messages, actually like you've done, Marlene, we're happy to work with people to help bring about a benevolent revolution on this beautiful earth.
Thank you, Will, for being with us and sharing the message of compassion.
Thank you very much, and thank you, everyone, for listening.
In celebration of the World Peace Diet, let's go out with Alive by Will Tuttle. Join us next week at this time, where we'll bring you more news on living a vegan lifestyle. Hear this program again at wcuw.org/vegannation. Theme music provided by Will Tuttle. This is Marlene Narrow, wishing you a good day.